Hi, this is Christian Buckley. I'm Managing Director of GT Consult.
And I'm Craig Todd, the COO of GT Consult.
And we're here with Module 4 of our SharePoint Online Migration Planning session. And we're going to dig in specifically today talking about migration performance, so some of the impacts to migration performance, and then some of the recommendations that you can do. So we'll just kind of jump into it. Impacts, recommendations. I just said that. Excellent. Now we have a slide. So some ways, also another useless slide. Okay, let's move across. Yes, they could be faster. That's what we're going to talk about.
And I think they definitely could be faster in terms of most of our interactions with Office 365 and moving across. Everyone expects it to be faster.
So, this is an ongoing topic. We were chatting kind of in between modules about some of the ongoing discussions that are happening with the product team around this. And there's just certain realities of the fact that it's a, SharePoint Online is over the internet. And so what is the speed of your connection? I do webinars all the time and interactions, collaborations with teams and live with video, and certain people logging in from home that have this delay that impacts their voice. And there's just that kind of latency that's just the reality. Microsoft, of course, does a lot of things to try and mitigate and protect environments and the security of the farms, which also could slow down your ability to move new content into the environment. And then there was also some great work that was done by Metalogic, so a partner of ours, where they were showing that between 40 and 45% of the performance of migrations to SharePoint Online because of some of these protection mechanisms were impacted. So there's great data that's out there. I mean, all of the vendors, the migration vendors, are certainly working hard with Microsoft. And actually, there's a coalition. They're all working together to try and drive some changes that are happening to SharePoint Online. So to jump right into those, what are those mechanisms that are impacting? So you have that user and tenant base throttling, for example. Most people aren't aware that the throttling is happening. Why is it happening, Craig?
That is a very good question. Thanks for putting me on the spot there. So just in terms of that throttling, if you've got a really large migration, you could be actually cut off mid-migration. Now, obviously, you're working on a tenanted environment. So it's not just your tenant that's sitting on there. There are multiple tenants on there. And it could affect the entire environment. Same as when you set up your site collections. You can choose what type of resource throttling to have on that specific site collection, depending on your sandbox solutions, just so that you don't bring the entire environment down.
And I mean, you have the same effect whether you're on-prem. If you are going to do a large deployment to a farm, you could impact the performance of your local infrastructure as well. I mean, it's similar. So Microsoft is trying to protect that by throttling the system so that no single user or tenant can overload the system.
And specifically in peak times of day, they've actually got the right to then throttle that system and actually really stop your migration in its tracks.
Right, and that's something that one of the ideas for improving performance is to actually communicate with Microsoft when a large migration is happening, or to be able to encode through the third-party migration tools to give like some header information so that Microsoft knows that this is coming through a migration tool. Somebody's not trying to do a denial of service or some other attack on the system, but getting ready using a migration tool to move a lot of content and complex collaboration activities over to the environment, and so that they'll then treat it differently than they would just seeing noise, increase in volume of content coming through the system.
And when you're talking about attacks on the system, well, what about virus scanning? Now, that's obviously something that's going to affect your upload of data if every piece of content is going to need to be going through a stringent virus scan.
But I think if you think of Microsoft's interest here is making sure that the multi-tenant environment is healthy and secure for everyone, of course they're going to provide a level of virus scanning. And if there is some kind of attack that's happening or a new virus that's been created specifically going after Office 365, it will then impact even further. So that's something that an administrator needs to keep up on and understand as they're getting ready to do migrations, what is actually happening out in the environment.
Then what about web front-ends? So web front-ends obviously provide you with better performance. Now, sitting in your SharePoint Online environment, they've got a host of different web front-ends. How's that affecting the user and the performance?
Well, I mean, for one, it can slow it because there's no two web front-ends are the same. You know, the install around there, you could have a lot of content. You can have a very complex environment that you're trying to move across. And so depending on how busy the traffic is on that, especially if you're trying to do a phased migration, and there could be users on there, changes that are happening. So do you have it locked down as part of your strategy? Are you going and breaking that down into pieces, or are you trying to move, in its entirety across at one time? And then you have, as we mentioned, the third-party commercial denial service monitoring and other tools which Microsoft is trying to maintain to make sure that people with complex environments, a lot of data, are not just hosing the bogging down the overall system. And there are all these things. You can go look at these things in detail out in the Office 365 Trust Center. There's great data that's out, also available in the Office 365 Yammer environment, where you can get into the details. And especially, I highly recommend going in, and if you're not already a member of the Office 365 network on Yammer, to ask questions about things that you're experiencing. There are groups that are dedicated to the migration activities. All of the vendors are there. You can ask questions and get real-world answers to what others are experiencing.
But I think Microsoft is working on quite a few workarounds to improve this this move into and this migration into SharePoint Online. And it becomes more pertinent, especially in places like South Africa, where you've got really bad bandwidth and you're trying to move this information across the wire into SharePoint Online. And the ability to actually pick up that data, go and stick it in a data center somewhere in Europe right next to the server and upload it, you're obviously going to have a much better experience. So opening up those types of those interactions.
And of course, I mentioned Metalogix with their benchmarking study, and there's other ISVs that are looking at this data, really trying to look at what are the average workloads. And I've heard different numbers from Microsoft, but honestly, I mean, not that I distrust Microsoft on this data point, but when you have the migration vendors whose business it is to move content and massive amounts of content across into the environment, and they're saying that the average that they're seeing of speed from a single machine is 200 to 550 megs an hour, depending on the workflow, the workload, the time of day, kind of everything that we've talked about, it's something that you need to plan for. If you have massive amounts of content to move across, you need to plan for this. And again, if you're talking about terabytes of data, I would say have a conversation with Microsoft about what you're moving and when and the best strategies for doing that.
But are there also some strategies that you can do yourself in terms of moving information and recommendations?
You're asking me it's on the next slide,
I know.
Craig. I know, so jump to it. So, the SharePoint Online recommendations. So one of them is the disabling the following content site feature.
It's like you're reading my mind. So basically, what that does is just allows you approximately 20 to 25% off of your workloads in terms of moving that documentation across. Some of the other things that we can do?
Yep, so you can take a gradual migration approach, which we've talked about. It's actually recommended. It's never been in the history of SharePoint a let's move everything and it'll happen over the weekend. We'll just move everything across. It makes much more sense to break it up into depending on how you break it up depends on your business and your workloads and your end users and their expectations and your requirements and kind of all those factors. But to break that up by site collection, at the very least by site collection, go in and look across what's moving across, what can you leave behind, and doing that phased approach, we see much more success. You don't have that single point of failure of trying to move the entire system across, but it also allows you to be much more focused in meeting those individual group or individual user needs.
But I think also in terms of moving that information across, if you do it one by one, you can start seeing what any of the unknowns are, because there's you can plan as much as you like, but sometime you're going to hit an unknown, and
that move
will allow you to improve your planning for the next iteration.
A great example of those unknowns is where you're trying to do that migration. You might have found an app. A solution that was unregistered, that was not inventoried properly, that is causing a failure in the migration. And so you can stop and go through, find what that thing is or multiple items that are causing the failure, and then make sure for all of your other staged phased migrations, the other site collections that you're getting ready to move across, do we see that recurring? Do we go and fix that before moving forward with those other sites?
And in our experience, it doesn't mean that you can't actually use a third-party tool here that will look at what you've already migrated and then actually improve that migration by not moving everything across, but actually doing an assimilation of all of the data and only moving what really needs to. Something like a riverbed steelhead as an example.
Yep. And that's an important point to make here is that, just as important to your migration process, not just the movement, but is, getting these other tools and solutions. There's a reason why a lot of these businesses have been very successful in building these solutions that help you clean up and organize to optimize that migration process. So it's worthwhile at least to go and take a look at them. They may not be in every organization's budget, but realize, what is out there from the partner ecosystem as part of your planning efforts. So in summary, Office 365, it's a multi-tenant platform. So Microsoft is carefully monitoring and guarding traffic on the system. And so they'll see anything that they see as hostile traffic. They're going to do something about that, from throttling to stopping, halting your migration. We've seen that happen as well. So understand what the limitations are. Understand how you can mitigate those performance improvements and take the steps that you can, especially around large volumes of content, to speed up that process.
And I think in that, as a closing point for me, is clean up as much of the content that you don't really need on your environment. We see too many customers just moving information for the sake of moving it. Yeah. And I think it's a good idea to clean that up first.
Yeah. In our module 5 that's up next, we're going to be talking about some of the additional planning considerations, especially, which I think the majority of organizations are talking about now, is hybrid move. So we're going to talk about some of the cloud considerations. So no matter what your plans are, maybe SharePoint Online and Office 365 is just part of your broader cloud strategy. This may actually help some of those considerations, but then diving into some of the scenarios around hybrid. So thanks a lot. Hopefully we'll see you at Module 5.